You're with Virginia on ABC Radio Melbourne.
Lucia Osborne Crowley is a journalist and an author and a former star gymnast as a very young person who has written a book called I Choose Elena. When she was 15 and she was on track to be an Olympic gymnast, she was violently raped in Sydney on a night out, and that sparked a series of events that left her devastating ill for more than 10 years of her life. She has gone through illness after illness. She's had more surgeries than I care to mention this morning, and we may get to that. But she really only got on a path to healing when she acknowledged the one thing that was the hardest thing for her to face up, and for so many people who have suffered violent and traumatic assaults to face up to, and that is the true nature of the assault and what it's meant to her, and how it was an invasion of a body that up until then she had total mastery of and complete control of. What happens when you lose your story, where you lose your body, and when you lose it to violent force? It's an incredibly moving book and a very powerful one. And Lucia Osborne Crowley joins you now. Lucia, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Virginia. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's amazing to talk to you about this when we are discussing violent attacks and intimate partner violence, although in this case it was that horror of horrors. It was that random attack by a total stranger that we are told is so rare, and it changed your life.
It did, absolutely. And you're right in that statistically this was kind of an anomalous attack. It was a complete stranger with a knife in the middle of the night. And so it is the nightmare scenario. And from that moment, I mean, kind of literally overnight, my life changed so much, but in a way that I couldn't register until 10 years later. I lost control of my body, and I lost my ability to perform the gymnastics routines that I was so good at, and I lost my identity as an athlete and as a gymnast, and I couldn't connect that to the fact that I had been assaulted, because I was so determined to pretend that I hadn't, or that it hadn't affected me.
The first part of your book is an incredible description of you as that young star gymnast, a championship gymnast, and the mastery that you have over your body and the understanding that you have of every single fibre and tip of your body, that you can tell when you go into a rotation from the way that your big toe leaves the mat, that you know whether you've got that or not, and what the landing has to be, whether you're going to nail it. Every part, every fibre of you, it's an extraordinary bit of writing, and it's made all the more upsetting by what's taken from you in that violent attack. What did you lose? How do you think you lost connection to your body in that way?
Well, I didn't understand any of this at the time. How I felt at the time was just that all of a sudden a line of communication had been shut off. All of a sudden I couldn't understand where the different parts of my body were in each kind of trick, and so I would be doing all the things that I thought I needed to do to land properly or to land safely, and I kept making big mistakes and falling and being unaware of kind of where everything was. At the time, I thought that I was 15, and in that kind of athletic community, you know, that's kind of getting a bit old, and I thought that maybe I just had lost my talent. But what I now know is that neurobiologically, if you suffer a very violent attack or any kind of traumatic episode, it disrupts your brain in such a way that really interrupts your nervous system's ability to connect with your muscles and have that kind of really direct communication.
It was, after all, just leaving aside what happens as a consequence of the traumatic response, a terribly violent attack. You were sexually assaulted over and over. You write about that in the book, at knife point, and did not go and see a doctor immediately afterwards. But you go on to talk about how the body can have an inflammatory response to trauma that can then bring about the illnesses that you then went on and developed and dealt with for years and years. Tell us about those illnesses and how your body just started to shut down.
Yeah, so about 18 months after this attack, I started getting very acute abdominal pain, And was hospitalised over and over again, and then started getting other symptoms. I was collapsing, I was vomiting. My body just started kind of going rogue, and I had no idea why. And so what the body does in these traumatic moments is it has a fight, flight or freeze response. And that causes a neurobiological stress response that becomes very dysfunctional, because you can kind of go into that fight, flight or freeze response in any moment in kind of your normal life. And what that does is it puts enormous pressure on the immune system and on the nervous system, because it's reliving trauma every day. And then that starts to break the immune system down, and it starts to weaken it. And that eventually can morph into autoimmune conditions where the immune system is attacking itself, because it's been under so much pressure for so long. So for me, that was eventually diagnosed as Crohn's disease and endometriosis. We're not completely sure if the medical community categorizes endometriosis as an autoimmune condition yet. The jury's still out on that. But from the research that I've done, even though it was Crohn's disease for me, there are many, many other illnesses that this can manifest in. Multiple sclerosis is a big one, and some forms of blood cancer as well.
The body records everything, and in some way the body must have its say in response to this violent intrusion.
And that's exactly what happened to me, because I'd always considered my mind to be so powerful, because as an athlete, you're taught to use your mind to control every part of your body. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that the rule was that my mind and my brain could make my body do anything I wanted. But I was completely wrong, because I decided very early on to completely suppress this experience, to pretend it hadn't happened, to hide the evidence, to make sure no one ever knew that I had been sexually assaulted. And I thought for 10 years that had worked. I really thought that I had kept that secret, but the body really does keep the score. And as much as you can try and mentally and cognitively run away from something, it kept putting me back in the same position. I kept ending up back in hospital, because the body doesn't forget these things, even if you try and tell yourself to forget them consciously. And I found that very hard to accept as a teenager and as a young adult, because it really didn't mesh with how I saw the world. But as soon as I'd started doing the research, I realised that it is absolutely the case.
Lucia, did everything start to change when you decided to own your history and tell your story?
Absolutely.
It was that sudden, was it?
Yeah. Well, it was more that, so in 2018, I got very, very, very sick, and I couldn't come out of hospital, and I couldn't keep going to my job as in a law firm that I loved, and everything started to fall apart.
You've had about 6 or 7 major surgeries by
yes,
now.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And at that point, I just realized that I would do absolutely anything to get better. And there had been some in my research, you know, when I was on WebMD looking up Crohn's disease and things, I'd seen a few references to a possible connection to rape and sexual assault. And so it was in the back of my mind that this was a possibility, but I was never willing to acknowledge it. And then I went to one of my surgeons one day in a moment of weakness and just said, "This happened to me when I was 15. Is there any chance that that's connected to these illnesses?" And he just turned around and said, "Absolutely." And from that moment on, an entire world opened up to me of specialists and surgeons and physical therapists and rehabilitation centres that were all dedicated to helping me recover from the long-term impacts of sexual assault. And so once I had all of those resources, everything became so much easier, which is part of why I wrote this book, and part of what really breaks my heart about this research is that it's all out there, you know, it's all been done. The medical professionals that I've spoken to, both in interviews for this book and in my own appointments, are very clear that there's a connection here. And there's so many people who've published really, really, really good research about this. So it's not that we're unsure about it. It is just that we're very reluctant to talk about it. And so just by not talking about it, I wasn't able to access that help for so long.
Exactly. It is a very fine piece of writing. Congratulations, Lucia.
Thank you so much.
Lucia Osborne-Crowley, the book is called I Choose Elena.